what you have. You have no chance. If you had a chance, you need to run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the baddest.
Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the gym's line. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out why hard is all about.
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good lucha.
I hate God.
Hit the dog. Yeah. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
Man, some of this non-copyright music's pretty fucking good. Got a nice fucking beat to that shit right there. What was it called? Synthwave metal, they're calling that right there. I like that. Nice shit right there. Nice shit. Anyway, what is going on, everybody? Wednesday night, Dirt Sheet Dudes. I am Boxman. How in the hell are you doing? I hope you're all doing well. I've got Smark over here riding hot gun as usual. What is up, Smarky? Smark, Smarky, Smark, 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 Smark.
That's right. What's going on?
Oh, it's been a long few days. Missed a little bit of AEW tonight. About a half hour, 35 minutes maybe. But then I missed a little bit of the main event, but we'll get into all that. Great fucking show tonight for AEW. We got a few little things to touch on Raw, a few things for NXT, a little news to get into. So we'll get to all that. Should we go ahead and knock the plugs out, Smart?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Give me one sec. I will get music going behind us. We can get the plugs knocked out, and then we can get this show on the road. All right, let's do this. Hi, Marks. I want you guys to check those guys out. You can go right to mixer.com/metalmitnetwork. That's right. There's two T's in Mitt Network. Check out those guys over there. It's Cheese Man. It's Mojo. It's G-Wiz. It's Sunday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You want to be checking them out, so go head over there and do that at the time and place I just said, damn it. All right. And, of course, Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blaze, The Inhuman Experience. Go ahead and subscribe to them on Apple. Anywhere else you get podcasts from, Google, TuneIn, Player, wherever. Subscribe to those guys because they're there. And of course, you got the Everything Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Great guys over there. That is Eric. That is Doug. That is Daniel. And I actually did host that show the other night, Settle It in the Ring. Had a great time with those guys. It was a damn good argument. It was tag teams, like I had said, and they had a blast doing it. So check out those guys, all the usual podcast platforms, and blog, talk radio, Everything Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. And Stephen Milan, appreciate you sharing the show. Letterboxd, boxd.com/Stephen Milan. There's two L's in Milan. You can find him over there reviewing movies, a lot of them. I think he's at 8,000 now. And you can always get us on Spreaker. You can get us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, Player FM, Anchor, YouTube, anywhere you find podcasts. Let it rip, Smart.
Yes, sir. Monday's 8:30 in the Mental Myth Podcast Network on the old Mixer device. I'm going to go ahead and listen to She's on Sports with She's Man, She's Master. They did five consecutive nights. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week, / last week, however you want to look at it. So they've been podcasting their dab-gone heads off. I thank them for letting me hop aboard the Magical Mystery Tour that they are embarking upon, but also Sundays, 10:30 a.m. on the Metal Myth Podcast Network, also on the Mixler Machine. You want to listen to the Mo Dirk City Machine Guns with Mojo and Dirk, a.k.a. Shirk Inside Joke there. And last but never least, you want to check out our friends at Planet Raccoon Tour. It's the Planet Raccoon Tour podcast with Bobby Anthony, Papa Dave, Sincere, and Yuck Nasty. Check out all 16 episodes. And be sure to subscribe for Season 2. Because it's going to be coming at you, so you want to be ready, you want to be prepared, you want to be alert, awake, and aware.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. Drop this music down. Plugs are done. That means we can get to this show and get some wrestling done. Man, it's been a interesting little week in wrestling. Not too much going on. Raw was pretty much... Once again, I felt like Raw was kind of deja vu Raw. We had seen most of these matches. They were just rematches and regurgitated, seen before bullshit. Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're not too far off from that. Kind of the same formula, kind of the same matches, the same people. They have so many people that they can choose from, too, is a thing. And yet, you know, same couple people, same matches, multiple people taking up multiple segments.
Yeah, same thing. And I mean, we did have a little something new on this. We had the Angel Garza versus Drew Gulak, which we'll get to. We'll get to that in just a few minutes here. This is really not going to be again, we're talking less and less about Raw. I don't have a lot to get into, but few things I did want to get into. We did get AJ and Omos back, finally. The tag team champions are finally back on Raw. And a very long promo by the New Day here.
Yeah.
I was like...
Well, I hate stealing other people's content, not really, because I'm lazy. But I feel like they put it best on The Observer when they said AJ and Almost came out, they babbled, the New Day came out, they babbled, and then they wrestled.
That was pretty much. And I mean, look, even Almost cut a little promo, so we got to hear Almost talk a little more than... much more than usual, I would say.
Usually it's like one word or one sentence. So yeah. He's got full on speaking privileges now.
Speaking privileges.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is for some reason they think that if you're big, you like don't know how to talk or you're just like illiterate. For some reason, there's like a height versus an intelligence thing. I don't get it, but yeah. Well, I think I do get it. How tall is Vince? Vince is probably a short man.
Yeah, I think he might be in the 6 foot range.
Is that 6 foot legit or is that 6 foot build as? Ooh. Which, as I always like to say, you take about 2 or 3 inches off the build as.
Oh, that's a tough one there.
Let's hit up the old Wikipedia and see how tall this individual is.
Okay. Sasha Baron Corbin saying 6'2", so take 2 inches. I'd figure he's about 6 feet.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. So by my own rules, he counts as 6 foot.
There you go. Which means Vince has, you know, all the talking ability he wants. You know, privileges, as you say. Privileges.
He can read.
for now. Which the cataract sets in. Oof, a little early. A little early for that. But we did get that. And another little kind of subplot of the night was Adam Pearce finally getting a little upset with Sonya Deville's mark. He's telling her, oh, you're overstepping, this and that. I think we saw this coming. I think eventually they're either going to split shows or Sonya's just going to be like, look, screw you. I run the women's division. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, something of that nature. I did like the line where she was like, well, you didn't respond to my text. And it's like, text, we share an office. Like, what is your problem? You could have just tapped me on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Well, service must be awful in here. That was her answer. The service must be horrible in here. But
I do like Pierce getting a little hot, though. Poor old wrestling stepdad finally got his chance to kind of stick up for himself.
Well, and the bad thing is people on social media are literally telling him to slap. They wanted him to slap Sonya Deville. This was yesterday. This was yesterday. He actually had a tweet this. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Thank you to everyone who has sent tweets and messages. I appreciate the interaction, but no, I have zero interest in slapping Sonya Deville. That's not how I choose to lead or govern. Certainly someone in my position shouldn't ever resort to violence. If you're one of those people suggesting that I be slapping Sonya or she should be slapping me, stop.
Cut it out.
Well, that's not even the funniest part of the tweet. After that, he tweeted, obviously people have been telling him he looks like a certain Johnny from the porn business. I'm believing he means Johnny Sins. And he put, also, I've got a number of these messages suggesting that facially wasn't a good word to use. I may look like this person. I forget his name. Johnny something. That's not me.
No, I feel like facially was the perfect term to use, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and I tip my hat to him.
I think he did know. He's like, yeah, facially. Get it? He's a porn star. Facially. Get it? You get it? Huh? Hey, Sonya, look what I did here. Come here. Oh,
okay. For those of you who are saying that I should do something else to Sonya's face, also stop that.
It's just sad that that has to be said. I'm sorry, my throat is dry as shit tonight. That has to be said. Just that it has to be said. I really have nothing after that. The fact that it has to be said should scare the bejesus out of this whole world. Pardon my language.
Little rough, but I'll allow it.
All right. Just don't want to go full blue there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I did like all the Adam Pearce, Sonya Deville stuff. Sonya Deville once again oversteps by just dumping Charlotte right into the title match. Once again, I don't know if they're doing this to have the storyline with Rhea. If Rhea loses, they're going to be some pissed off motherfuckers. But she wins and there's like no focus really on her. She's just like a third wheel.
Pretty much, unfortunately. Yeah. That's kind of they have a way of booking their champions like that. Yeah. I mean, not so much they haven't really been doing that so much at the top with the world champion. Like, they haven't done that with Lashley yet, thank God. But that's normally how they do. They're kind of undercard belts. Is they'll have somebody lose a bunch of times, so they'll have like the focus be on. Or at the perfect example, actually, they had a tag title match later, the women's tag titles, mm-hmm. and the last time that did like the only two matches that they've won, Shane and Nia were tag title defenses within the last like 8 matches, because ever since that incident where Shayna kicked Asuka in the face, Shayna's been losing all of her matches with the exception of the 2 title defenses that they had. And that's been like, what, 2 months ago by now?
Gotta punish her.
Mm-hmm.
She must be punished. on television. That's how we do things here. Yeah. You know, that's just the way it goes. But yeah, I'm just, I feel bad for Rhea. Dirk said he'd be pissed off if Rhea loses that three-way. I really would be too. I think it, I mean, just another just kick in the fucking teeth to her, you know, you know, since we're talking about it. That's about what it would be. But, Smark, you,
yes.
You asked for it. You wanted it. You got it. The reach, the what?
Well, no, I jumped the gun on that. I'll go ahead and let you continue.
The return of the one, the only, Eva Marie. Eva Marie.
That is right. And there's a really, honestly, there's a part of me that kind of likes this, not because I really like her, but I just like the idea of, like, after you fire four different women on the same day, fucking Mickey James and Peyton Royce and fucking Chelsea Green and all that, your next move is like, all right, we're going to bring back Eva Marie, too. Fuck you if you like women's wrestling, you bunch of cucks.
Well, that's one way to put it. Yeah, so, you know, we're about a third of the way into the show, and we get this. You know, we see a little leg, and then here we go. She's on a Ferrari.
Not unlike an 80s rock music video. Do I have your attention?
I've been thinking about where I've been and where I'm going. Do I have your attention now? Good. You know, on the road of life, there are twists and turns, but I've always tried to be the one in control of my own life and the independence that comes with it. But part of that is giving back. Now I have your attention. I want to be someone others look up to. I want to influence others to go after their own ambitions, like I did. So, I'm back where my journey started. This is Eva Lucian.
Ooh. Eva Lucian's Mark. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She said it. You heard it. That's what she said. Eva Lucian.
My favorite part about this was that the closed captioning on my Hulu spelled it out like it was an actual name. So it was like Eva Lucian, like L-U-C-C-I-A-N. So it's like an Italian or like Eastern European type name.
Ah, Jesus. Weird. That is kind of weird. But I'm a little happy about it, too. Just first of all, everyone's losing their minds. And I love that. First of all, that's just that's one little thing that I enjoy. And that's one thing I do like. But I actually, see, I watched her when she was on the Tough Enough show. It was Tough Enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I watched her on that. And I liked her. I don't know. I mean, she's a beautiful girl. And she's kept her name going a little bit here and there. I think she did a movie or something. The Rock was like in her corner in the movie business. Like, yeah, you got to get this girl. So, I don't know. That might have helped her. I think she did a movie with like Nick Cage or something like that. Yeah, that's right. It was it was a Total Divas. I think so. Super Sasha Baron Corbin is right. It was a Total Divas. The first one they did.
Yeah, she was on that original cast.
Yeah, yeah.
She had like her boyfriend was like this scumbag or whatever. They were trying to make him out to be like a Kevin Federline type or whatever. I think.
Yeah, she married him.
Like a booch.
Yeah, she married him.
Yeah, good for him, I guess.
On that show.
And I haven't watched all of the episodes or most of the episodes for that matter. So
yeah.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. So we'll guess we'll see what happens with that. But yeah. Get rid of a bunch of people and bring back Eva Marie.
It just really makes me wonder, like, apparently that acting career, I mean, you mentioned she was in a movie with, like, Nick Cage, but, like, that acting career couldn't have been going well, huh? because I can't imagine this is like her first choice of things to do. I'm not even judging her talent as much as it is. She just doesn't seem like she really wants to be there.
No, well, we don't. I mean, we haven't really seen her yet. We've just seen her in the video, but it's, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, she's got that going. She's got, I believe her husband has like this nutrition thing going. She's got like a whole nutrition or clothing line or something going too. So, been keeping her name out there a little bit. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens with the Eva Marie in all red. Was on a red Ferrari. It was a nice Ferrari. It was a very nice Ferrari. Speaking of red, Smark, we had more tomato throwing on Raw.
Oh, boy.
We've gone from beer trucks and milk trucks and Zambonis to literally Waka Waka Waka.
Pretty much. Get old Fozzie Bear out there.
Yeah, yeah, they're throwing tomatoes at Fozzie Bear at this point. It's just like, you know, I don't even know where to go. There's such a feeling of disappointment even talking about this, to be honest with you. I can't even tell you. It's just, I can't even put it in words, dude. I can't.
Well, it's so very weird because it is a show whose demographic is primarily males that are 40 or over, and they're doing things that are supposed to be pandering to like 8-year-old kids, where it's like throwing tomatoes, and there's a poop joke on NXT, which I guess we'll probably get into later, but just these kind of things where it's like, I don't feel good about watching this sometimes. Like, it's not even that I don't want other people to catch me watching it. It's like, I feel bad that my dog also has to see this shit.
Well, that was the poop joke on NXT. It's like Vince stopped by for a while and was like, you know what you need here? A poop. Little dog poop. Get it.
That would have been so great if he just walked into the camera shot, just gave the thumbs up. It's just more like produced by Vince McMahon.
Well, I thought I'd stop by.
Like a crossover episode. I'm just in the neighborhood. How you doing, Paul?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Okay. It's right. Anyway. Now, we've been talking about this Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin thing, Smark, for a while now. They lost again to Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. After they lost this match, Cedric Alexander got on the mic and basically broke up the rest of whatever was left of the tag team. I've got that audio, too.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. They were frustrated coming into this match. This kind of loss can only...
Shelton! Shelton, look at me! We went from being world tag team champions with the Hurt Business to this. Look at us. No wonder MVP and Lashley decided to kick us out. But no, let's be honest. They didn't kick us out. They kicked you out. It's you, Shelton. I should have turned my back on you too. You've been the weak link in the Hurt Business since day one. Ask yourself this question, Shelton. Ask yourself this question. How many years have you been here? How long have you been here getting opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and watching it slip through your fingers? Huh? How many years do you have left? See, unlike you, Shelton, I'm in the prime of my life, and I refuse to waste another second keeping yours alive. So just like you, this team is done.
All right. Okay, two things. First of all, great promo. A lot of passion there by Cedric Alexander. Number two, we have to stop saying, can this get any worse? Because it seems like at this point, they're taking it as a challenge.
Yep.
It just seems like they're listening and going, you don't think it can get worse, huh? Oh, boy. I mean,
that's the truly mind-boggling thing, is that for months on it, they teased dissension among Shelton and Cedric. They teased them potentially breaking up, one of them being kicked out, whatever. And they finally get back together. They start working on the same page, and then they get kicked out. And then they don't even give them a team name, that they're wrestling in their fucking Hurt Business gear while not being, while being excommunicated from the Hurt Business. And then, like, a couple weeks later, they just turn on each other anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, why didn't you just do that? Why didn't you just have them both fighting? You have MVP be like, hey, look, we don't need this shit right now. Big match, kind of focus, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense, but no, they'd rather draw it out. And look, I get it. It looks like they're going to try to give Cedric a little singles push, which I'm fine with that, but now what do we do with Shelton? And then Shelton went and cut a great promo after that. Here, I got it. 55 seconds.
Survived. I can take the hit. I've seen so many bright young superstars come and go around here. Superstars like Cedric Alexander. You don't know this, but the only reason Cedric was in the Hurt Business is because I saw something in him that nobody else did. Not Bobby, not MVP, nobody. So if he doesn't want to team with me, he doesn't want to learn from me, he doesn't want to take the hit with me, fine. He's a grown man. He can do whatever the hell he wants, but he will respect me. I let him say his piece out there tonight. But if he continues down this road, he's going to turn into just another bright young star fizzling out. And I will continue to survive.
Well, I don't think anybody wants you to just survive. I think everybody wants you to thrive. Not just survive, but because, I mean, what a fucking talented guy. And, you know, he goes out another, I mean, it's literally, it's almost like being in the Hurt Business with Lashley sparked the promo game of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin and Lashley. Let's be honest here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all three of them got something out of that group. I don't know how, like by osmosis, those two both got better on the mic too. Shelton and Cedric, I'm talking about. So I don't know, but I mean, another great promo by Shelton, but where does this leave Shelton Benjamin? Because let's face it, on his own, not a very good single star, I'm sorry to say.
No, I mean, where does it leave either of them? Because I don't see really either one of them getting potentially big singles pushes. I mean, maybe this leads to Cedric rejoining the Hurt Business, but he, you know, outside of that, if that doesn't happen, I really don't see much of anything in terms of bright prospects for his future.
I see heel Cedric maybe going out and doing a little something singles, being having some success at it, to be honest with you. Shelton, unfortunately, I see him coming in with gold hair in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there you go. Little reboot.
Hey, he needs a mama. Oh.
That's right.
No, Vince, no, we did that. No. Okay. We did.
This seems oddly familiar.
We did? Oh, shit. All right. How about a daddy? No? All right.
Sean's daddy.
Move on.
Oh, if only Big Boss Man were still alive.
Menemusel time.
Jello day.
Ooh, green.
Green
is
my favorite flavor.
Money.
I can see him doing that. I could see him like making a nice big burger and just putting fucking, instead of lettuce, just putting like $100 bill on it.
His toilet paper rolls are just $100 bills. You just pull them off.
Mm-hmm. If there was a shortage, what do you expect him to do? He's got to be resourceful.
Exactly. Just crumpled up 3 or 4 times. Wipe that puppy off. oh, man. We got way off track there for a minute. Let's go ahead and we only got a couple more things once again to talk about. I'm actually damn near done here. I mean, literally, like I said, we're getting another deja vu Raw next week with Drew and Lashley. Oh, we haven't seen this, have we? Yes, we have. We have. Like, every match we've seen the past 3 weeks is from fucking WrestleMania. We get it. WrestleMania happened, and now they're bringing up another WrestleMania backlash. WrestleMania backlash. God, fucking just kill me now, please. We did get a new member of the Raw roster in Mansoor.
Boy, did we.
Boy, did we. He came out. He had a little debut match against Sheamus. And luckily, Humberto Carrillo came down and kind of made that match a DQ because basically old Mansoor was getting worked over. And one of the best things was when Sheamus like double fish hooked him and his eyes were bugged out. And I almost changed our group picture to that. I very close.
See, this is kind of a bleak thing because this kind of just proves that it's not like ill will or malice as to why they're not developing new people. It's just that they don't know how. Because this is the guy who they gave a 50 match winning streak to. And now and you're showing me, and oh my, that is quite the look.
I told you.
But yes. So he has a 50 match winning streak, and like most of them are on main event, and then like other ones are at the Saudi Blood Money shows, so it's not really that big of a deal. But he's like the Saudi Prince's favorite wrestler. So you think, if not for anything else, but for the money factor, that they're going to do whatever they can to make this guy look good. Mm-hmm. That is not at all what happened. As you said, he came out, Sheamus kind of beat his ass for the majority of the match. You had Carrillo come out to help him. Sheamus beats up both of them, stands victorious.
I can see Humberto Carrillo and Mansoor maybe doing a little tag teaming. But
perhaps.
But Carrillo did get the upper hand. He did take out Sheamus, and he walked away this time pissed. I'm liking this new Humberto Carrillo. I hate to say, I thought the beard would make him look older. He looks like a kid trying to look older to get into a bar.
Like he took a Sharpie and just sort of drew a beard on his face. Like fucking Little Rascal style.
Kind of where I'm going with that. Yeah, a little bit, little bit, little bit, yeah. But, you know, I got two more things to bring up on Raw, and we're done with Raw. NXT, my notes are even smaller for. NXT was a really good matches, but not a lot of depth on that show. Angel Garza versus Drew Gulak was a nice treat. I liked the match. Now, the reason for the match happened out of nowhere. I mean, Angel's back there. Gulak is like, hey, thought you knew how to pick up women, pussy. I'm going to shove that rose up your ass. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What did he do to you?
Mm-hmm.
He actually did shove the rose up his ass.
He indeed did. He lived up to his end of the bargain there.
He did.
Fulfilled his promise.
Mm-hmm. 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 He did. He didn't really shove it up there. But, you know, kicked it. And looked like it. Yeah.
Garza. It's implied. Yeah, it would be very strange if they decided to just full on go that route of just having him de-pants him or de-tights him, just pound a fucking rose right up his head. And then again, you just get a fucking like little flashing graphic that says "Happy Cinco de Mayo."
That's right, it is Cinco de Mayo
today. But you know, close enough.
It is. It is. I watched the Brock Lesnar making fun of coming down in a sombrero, making fun of Eddie Guerrero. Just because you have to watch that on Cinco de Mayo. Meanwhile, if you think they're celebrating down in Mexico tonight, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. It's just another day.
Like their actual Independence Day is farther away. I think it's in like September or something.
Yeah, this is literally like the day you're allowed to culturally appropriate and no one says a fucking word. Only today, you son of a bitches, though. Don't you fucking try it tomorrow.
Well, today it's St. Patrick's Day, but, you know.
You know what? You know what? You're right. You're right. There's 2 days. You're right. You're right. You're right. And, I mean, I guess you're allowed to dress up as a bunny on Easter, and that's okay. I don't even know anymore. There's too many rules.
Anyway. No, I blame Bill Maher. He kept making all those fucking rules, and nobody kept them in check.
Well, he is politically incorrect.
It's true.
I used to love that show. I got to be honest. I'm not a huge Bill Maher fan, but I will say Bill Maher does equally dish out his jokes. He fucked with the left. He fucked with the right.
Yeah.
I know
he watched him a little bit.
Yeah.
There's clips on YouTube, especially of like when they had the WCW wrestlers on there. Mm-hmm. And he tried to go at Piper, and like Piper just had none of it. Like, I kind of felt a little bit bad for Bill Maher because you had like a panel with Piper and Heenan. And it's just like, dude, you're not going to keep up with that shit. Like, as smart as you are, like,
you can be the wittiest son of a bitch. You've got Piper and fucking Bobby Heenan. There's a reason he's called the Brain. I mean, that man in his prime was absolutely amazing. But and you got to remember, Bill Maher was in DC Cab. I love that movie. Leave me alone. Don't judge
me. Yeah, there you go. I'll
always give him a little respect for that. But listen, Smark, we got one more week of RK-Bro with another win. I'm calling that a win for me, too, because we got one more week of RK-Bro. They love doing this odd couple, you know, stuff. And I mean, we got Killian and Drake Maverick down in NXT. I mean, we've had a ton of people. I mean, literally, you got AJ and Omos. I mean, there's a ton of these odd couples that they like putting together. But this one, man, I don't know. I'm hoping we get a little more of it. And, you know, I mean, we know where it's going. Never trust a snake. But, you know. The old, why did you bite me? Oh, well, I'm a snake. You know, all that shit.
That old wives tale that ends with I remember.
You know that one.
We talked about it a bunch of times, though. They do love their odd couple pairings. Like you said, the NXT thing, it reminded me of that. Because I was getting kind of Thatcher and Ciampa vibes. Because you just have the whole, you know, he won his respect in a match. So now Orton goes from, you know, hating Riddle's guts to wanting to be his tag partner, or at least tolerating him enough. They did a good job of on commentary about kind of putting over the fact that Orton doesn't team with anybody really for a week at a time, let alone multiple weeks. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of a big deal that he was opening up his heart to old Matt Riddle. It was a real touching moment there. But I enjoyed it. And like I said, you know, as long as it's probably not going to last very long, but for as long as it does last, it's enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just keep it at that. As long as it lasts, be happy. It won't last forever, obviously. So be happy while it does. I think we can. I really think for them to cut it short would be detrimental to themselves, because those two are something that could get over. Really, that's an odd couple that could just get over, in my opinion. So I think it'd be a bad idea for them to dump it quickly. They should milk it. Milk that some bitch. That's what I'm saying. So, all right, that was Raw. We'll leave it at that. NXT next. Like that transition, Smark? I think Smark is still there. Oh,
yes.
I don't know why,
I was somehow muted. And by the by, I was right. Mexican Independence Day is September 16th.
September 16th. There you go. 10/16. Hmm. Yeah. Let's see let's see if you guys are buying fucking Coronas and drinking margaritas then.
I mean, I will.
They actually, for fun. They actually brought in margaritas to work today, and I'm like, I got to drive a forklift. That's probably not a good idea.
I'll stop at 2 then. Just, you know, just
I mean, I really wanted to, but I'm like, nah, I got my THC vape in the office. I'll be fine.
There you go.
Well, only one person has caught me doing that so far. So, but I mean, these guys the guys I'm working with, I've known since I was 18, 20 years old. We got time. Quick explanation. This company I'm working for, my dad works at it. But the company I'm working for, the guys that started this company actually were working for my father at another company that I started out at called Platinum Packaging way back in the day. Company's done, dead now, but my dad had, that was the Florida branch we had of Platinum Packaging. So these guys all worked at Platinum. The owner, two of the salesmen, actually more of the salesmen, because a couple more of the guys I work with, my father hired as salesmen, and they're still in the business today, and now I'm working back with all of them. So, man, everything really came full circle to me. It's a little weird, but I've known most of the guys and even a couple of the girls in that building for a good 20 plus years.
Nice.
So they just happened to have fired their warehouse guy because he was an idiot, basically. I didn't realize it until I really got in the warehouse and started looking around, and I'm like, my God, you could run. I mean, this warehouse is big enough to run in your sleep. And then you got racks and everything. And I think he was the one sleeping.
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah, it's just weird that I've known these guys so goddamn long, but, not even sure what we said to get me on that, but NXT Smart. NXT, a good show. A lot of, I hate to say, but kind of a hokey show, more of a fun show. Whee! Yay.
Interesting. I mean, there's a little bit of some gimmickry in the matches. And there's one promo in particular that sticks out that was a little bit on the lighter side, which I enjoyed. But all in all, I actually really, really liked this show.
Which promo was that? Go ahead.
The old camera grab. He's just out there and he's having himself a time. Actually, it was a kind of a trilogy of segments, I think, but there was two that actually stand out because he had already had his match and he won, and it was I forget the guy's name, but they repackaged one of the guys that they've been using.
It was oh shit, I've got it. I thought I put a note in here for it. What was that guy's name? Asher Hale, formerly Anthony Henry.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, so he beats him, and he's all excited about that, and he's walking around the backstage. He decides he's going to take himself out to the club to celebrate. He briefly bumps into Ever-Rise, and he's like, you guys basically acts like they're bigger dorks than he is, so he's not having it. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to leave you guys. You guys are Canadian, and you're broke. So he decides he's going to take himself out to the club. Well, he bought the VIP room, but you see, the thing is that he was scooped. Because somebody done went and bought the club. That somebody, of course, is old dang Ted DiBiase, which he's cursing his name, looking up to the heavens and screaming it while shaking his fist like the fucking total cartoon character that he is, and I absolutely love it. And I hope that this somehow leads to them forming some kind of a partnership like we talked about last week.
Yeah. Now, listen, I know a lot of people are not liking this Cameron Grimes character. Matter of fact, it's not even doing well ratings wise in the quarter hours, but I like it. Again, the guy grew on me. I think it's good. I don't know why it's not clicking with people. It should. A lot of people really made money off of that deal that he made money on. He really made money off that deal that he's talking about. He made money on.
Mm-hmm.
It should click. I'm not 100% sure why it's not. Again, maybe it's him. I've always said he just doesn't have a good connection. But I am liking this character.
People claim they want gimmicks, or maybe they don't. I don't know. But people seem very adverse anytime like a gimmick of any kind comes about nowadays. Like, we just see it with all kinds of people. We see people shitting on the whole, you know, Fiend thing. We see people shitting on Abaddon, on fucking whoever you want to bring out. And now there's people that don't like Cameron Grimes. There are people who just are still on the fence about it. And it's like, do we really need more guys who come out and wear fucking black trunks, black boots, and are fucking MMA guys that aren't even MMA guys? They just watch UFC and try to do what they do. And it's like, oh God, we don't need more of those fucking people. Come on now.
No, I had the damn playlist going. No volume. You're right. We don't. I mean, what do we... What's going to put on a leather jacket and tug the fucking lapel? Come on. I know you can't please everybody, but it's just getting a little old. But this show had a great first match and a great last match. I will say that. I really enjoyed both matches. We had more than just that debut on this show. We had Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott in a false count anywhere match, who, I got to tell you, These guys went out there like they wanted to kill each other, not wrestle a match. Really liked the vibe of this fucking match. We had Ruff climbing up the ladder. He was about to dive on the Swerve, and AJ Francis came out. Big man, kind of reminds me a little bit of Bam Bam. Little bit, got that look to him, and I guess he's the host of WWE's Most Wanted Treasures on A&E.
Interesting. I haven't gotten around to watching that show yet. So
I haven't either, but I read a little.
I know what you mean by that, but I just like the idea of instead of you watching it, you just reading the transcripts of every episode, where it's just like, yeah, it's more educational this way.
No, I actually looked him up.
There you go.
Yeah, I actually grabbed his name and put, you know, blah, blah, real name. What does he do? Where is he from? And this is pretty much where he's from, but Ruff was going to do the dive. He catches Ruff, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth, "You must be outside your mind," and slams the shit out of Leon Ruff. Swerve Bird drags him in and gets the win. It was a false count anywhere, so basically a no DQ. And Swerve got himself a new faction, Smark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's go ahead.
Well, and I mean, to be fair, there were people that were, you know, he was doing a couple of promos where he was like just in the studio talking about this and that, working on this and that. And there were people behind him. So this like kind of plays off of that too, right, that he has his own little entourage with him. I like the beginning of the match because you had Leon Ruff just charge at Swerve. Swerve throws the boot up and then just like crouches in front of him while Ruff's just laying there in pain and just smiles at him like, "Yeah, what you got drawn up there, buddy?"
Yeah.
I just love that fucking little smug look he gave him. Like, that didn't pan out the way you wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the whole match was good. And like I said, I like Swerve being, looks like he may be the leader, which these little guys being leaders of all these bigger guys just doesn't make sense. I would like to see AJ Francis be the leader. But the group is Swerve, AJ Francis, Ashante the Adonis, and Brianna Brandy. I have not seen much of her, but Jesus Christ, another gorgeous girl.
I was going to say he went out and got himself a Jade Cargill.
She's not as built, not as body built as her, but wow.
Not quite.
Beautiful, beautiful girl, man. They've made some really good hires lately, I'll tell you that.
I'll just
leave it at that, but I like...
Frank Corbin says we need less people with terrible tattoos. And I mean, I think he's talking about just in wrestling, but I just kind of echo that sentiment in general. Mm-hmm. Now, terrible tattoos is up for debate as to, you know, it's all a matter of taste. But there are certain things that not everybody needs to get tattooed onto them.
No tattoos on me, so.
I mean, I don't mind tattoos in general. I'm just saying.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
Somewhere out there, there's somebody that has like a fucking star tattoo, a barbed wire tattoo, and a Chinese symbol on them that they don't know what it means.
Very true. And nowadays, you take a picture of it and someone's like, "Do you know what that really means?" And you're like, "Oh, fuck, it means I fuck cats." Shit. Why would they do that to me? Why would they do that to me? But anyway, I like Swerve having this new little entourage. Probably better word than a faction. I think that's I like what you said there, Smark. I like it. I think it fits him. I think this is going to be something to definitely keep your eye on. They need to do it, man. I mean, I know they're not on the same night as AEW anymore, but their ratings still are not where they should be. You know what? Let's go ahead and jump into that real quick. I think I have that. Ratings, by the way, real quick, just to throw this in,
761.
Is that it? Yep, 761,000 live, getting up there, definitely, you know, up from the 744. So people are starting to figure out, hey, oh, I forgot they were on, you know, people got to reset their DVRs, man.
Yeah, something like, well, the episode that they did on 420 was like 800,000 something. I believe it was 835, but I think Dirk was saying like 842. So it's in that number, in that ballpark.
Yeah, but everybody was high.
That is true. I did kind of wonder that, where it's like, if you're watching TV, because there was a lot of Cameron Grimes on that show that particular week. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there like, if you're high out of your mind and you're just flipping through it and you see like a guy wearing a top hat with just a fucking tuft of chest hair hanging out of a fucking just blazer, you're probably going to hang around for a minute. You're like, what the fuck is this guy's deal?
Right, exactly. And, you know, like I said, really the ratings don't mean much for like a month. Let people get used to the new schedule and this and that. So we're coming up, I think this is the third week, or is this a month?
It was right after WrestleMania. So.
All right, so we're coming up on a month. Cheers. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone.
Yeah. Cheers. Oh, yeah. Indeed.
Thank you, baby. All right. Oh, love that woman. all right. Whoo! I'm ready to go now. I had one beer left because I just got too tired to drink the last beer last night. So I'm drinking the one beer, and she's got shots, and I got plenty of water beside me. So I'll be just fine to get up at 6:15 tomorrow morning. I'm just not sleeping lately. But anyway, I don't want to really harp on the ratings for a little while. Again, everyone's got to get fucking used to it. And looks like they're starting to move on over there. But, you know, it wasn't really anything huge to get into. But there you go. And, you know, Dirt Sheet Radio had put out, and that was, I'm sure you saw that when I messaged you today, there was a message taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt Sheet Radio had put out that they had like 483,000 viewers. And obviously,
a bit of a discrepancy.
Obviously, someone didn't fact check their shit. And that's what I had said. I was like, damn. Because I was like, is this real? And I saw it on a few other sites. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then like an hour later, they were like, hey, by the way, we took that guy out of the admin position. It's like, oh, my God, guys, come on. Slap him on the wrist for Jesus Christ. Don't cancel the guy.
He's taken out back.
They said it was an international guy. So, he might have saw early ratings, or maybe that didn't include something, or maybe he just saw a different number, or who knows?
Hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, there's an exchange rate.
The exchange rate. Maybe he was going metric.
There you go.
Metric.
Yeah, it was viewers and centimeters.
Right. Maybe. let's get through this shit, please. Karrion Kross with Scarlett, of course. I did like the little thing where Gargano and Austin Theory. Yes. We're in the back. We got it. I didn't have it in my notes, but I knew I'd remember it because it was a great little fucking segment. They're looking for Regal. Regal's in there sitting there talking to Scarlett, who looking very, what's the word to use? Busty?
Indeed.
Very, very busty. And, you know, Gargano gets his shit out. And then Theory is like, those are just so big. Those are the big, and he was talking about her.
Are they real? They have to be real.
You're really real? And he was talking about her nails. Calm down, you pervs. We know.
Which is like even creepier and weirder because they have him like seductively stroking one of her nails. And Gargano comes over and just like grabs him by the shirt and starts yelling at him that you can't just go around touching people.
Dude, it's really like, I swear, I think Vince stopped by.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it really did have sort of the like air marks or whatever of the fucking old school like Attitude Era type segments where it was just like vaguely sexual and like kind of, you know, immature comedy, but it's right in my fucking wheelhouse, so I gotta work with it.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't find that funny. I found it, I mean, that's what we're talking about it now. It wasn't even in my notes. But again, Karrion Kross in the ring, he's basically saying, I told everyone to step up. All I got was people saying that they're not afraid of me. Well, I'm not fucking scared of you. bitches. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle O'Reilly comes out. Holy hipster looking. He's even, and the mullet is coming back. Lord, put a bullet in my fucking brain. I mean, my God, the mullet's coming back, Smark, and he's got one.
Old cool Kyle, as people were putting it on Twitter and making me laugh, they're referring to him as Tangerine Cassidy, which I enjoy.
There you go. There you go. I like that. Now, I did like the Eazy-E t-shirt. I'm always going to like any. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a nice t-shirt, but it was just everything else. Like, I don't know what the fuck this, and I like gimmicks, but I don't know what the fuck this character is supposed to be. Where it's just like, this is your chance, this is your singles breakthrough moment, and now you're cool, Kyle, and you're cool because you come out with sunglasses on. Like, it's fucking, it's hilarious in concept, but it's just confusing in execution.
Looks like Kyle Cobain to me. Looks like we're just going back to the grunge era with a mullet, and that's it. But I don't get the character either, but anyway, and then another guy who I'm not a huge fan of, Pete Dunne, comes out. Balor comes out, and next thing you know, they're all brawling, and Balor is punching security guards and cross suplexes a security guy. Then next thing you know, Gargano and Theory jump Cross from behind. Gargano knocks out Cross with the North American title. Okay. Really, a lot of shit happened right there.
Yeah, and I mean, I enjoyed it as a segment because they sort of went out of their way to put over how tough, you know, Cross is, because he kept getting attacked by different people at different times from different angles. He sort of weathered the storm for the majority of the onslaught, as it were. And so, I mean, it did a good job of getting him over as being this real tough guy, real ass kicker type. So, I'd give that a thumbs up. That's just what you're supposed to do for your champion.
Yeah, and they were obviously saying the whole time, hey, well, what's it going to take to put this guy down and keep him down? And they were definitely putting him over as a legit tough guy. So I'm not saying it was a bad set. It was just a lot going on in a very, very short time there. So we had a good side-by-side with Raquel Gonzalez and Mercedes Martinez. I really think Raquel is really, really good on the talking wise. Whoever did Mercedes Martinez makeup should be fired. She looked way older than she is.
That's kind of the thing. Is like it felt very much like a mother just sort of dressing down her daughter.
Yes.
Like I was expecting her to just whip out the old chunkla and just start beating her with it.
Yes.
The old flippy flop.
Yeah, and I don't know who did that because she does not usually look like that. And she looked way older. I was just like, oh my God, what did they do to her?
It was an interesting strategy because, like you said, they had the makeup job. She does, like you said, she doesn't normally look like that, but then she also had like a low cut top on, which she also doesn't normally dress like that. So it's just like she just decided to have a experimental day with the look.
I guess. But I mean, I thought Raquel was really, I thought they were both really good. I'm not going to sit here and say that Raquel was better. I was shocked to look at, and that's 100% what I was thinking. I'm like, this is like an evil stepmother dressing down her daughter. I'm like, holy shit, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe it'll add to the match. Who knows?
Yeah, I thought it was a good promo, looks aside, because you had Mercedes Martinez talking about how she was responsible for blazing the trails and sort of forging the path that Raquel Gonzalez, you know, walks on nowadays. And Raquel Gonzalez said that, you know, okay, you did set the bar, but you set the bar so incredibly low that I just hurtled right over it like it was nothing. And I did, you know, in 1 year what you couldn't do in your whole fucking career. I'm not the women's champion, all this, that, and a third. And she said, yeah, but it's only going to take 3 seconds for me to take it off of you. Sort of your traditional kind of promo, but it was right. Good. I liked it.
Yeah, and I like Mercedes Martinez saying, you know, you're cookie cutter, this and that. Basically, she was saying you're a homegrown NXT and you haven't paid fucking dues like I have for the past, you know, umpteen years. So which again made it even more like the evil stepmother dressing down her stepdaughter. But anyway, it still worked. It was just a little odd to see. The next thing I was going to mention was the dog shit in the tank with, you know, we had a little Frankie Monet's little doggy there. Adorable.
Yep, dog. Unfortunately.
Yes, and we had they literally went on about how big and smelly the dog shit was for, what, a good 35, 40 seconds? I mean...
Yeah, I feel like there's better ways that you can work LA Knight into the show than having him be in Shotzi's tank.
Well, we can't get in. This guy just stinks the place up. I agree. I agree with that sentiment. You knew I would. Now we get the main event, which was the street fight for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. It was Candice and Indy Hartwell versus Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. I really liked this match, man. They had some great ladder spots. Shotzi again climbing fucking, you know, the scaffolds and doing dives off of shit like that. But all in all, we did get new tag team champions in Candice and Indy out of this, which I think makes sense. I think with everyone now having gold, this is where Austin Theory is going to be kind of the odd man out even more than he already is.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also potentially say, I've wondered if this is actually going to lead to anything, if they're going to try to. We talked about, you know, how they like to duplicate things on Raw. If this is going to be an angle where you start seeing Theory having a crush on Scarlett, like how Indy has a crush on Dexter Lumis and that sort of thing. I know a lot of people haven't been liking that, so I really, there's a lot of people that hope they don't go to that well again, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, you're right. Who knows? But like I had said with NXT, I thought it started off with a really hot, really good match, ended with the same thing. Great, what we call bookend show. But I thought there was a lot more of a, like, again, I thought it was more of a kiddie fun show than a real hard hitting, gotta watch show.
Yeah, I mean, I can see your point. Outside of the 8 minutes they spent talking about dog shit, I actually really enjoyed the show, but that was a little bit of a snag. Other than that, though, there wasn't really too much that felt like it didn't need to be there. Mm. You know, everything else was pretty good. You know, they had a couple of women's matches. You had a couple of, you know, promos and segments like that. And they're further... Words are hard sometimes.
Further?
They're furthering the feud between Santos Escobar and Kushida, so that's pretty good. Yes. There's some stuff on there that I like, but just other than the dog shit, was not a fan of them, like you said, talking at length about fucking dog poop.
Yeah, yeah. I like when they further stories.
Mm-hmm.
With their
you gotta love the furthering stories.
Especially with their mutter and their fodder.
Yeah, I've never actually been to New York, so I don't know where that came from.
It's all right, man. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No big deal. No big deal.
I'm positive. I think we might have a show title, so that's something.
There you go.
Murdering stories.
There you go. Furthering, murdering. Same thing with WWE at this point. So AEW Blood and Guts, not only was it a tagline, but they even gave you a little explicit warning for violence, not only at the beginning, but also at the second hour of the show. Now, I did miss a good 20 minutes of this. I came in at the QT Marshall versus Cody Rhodes match, middle of it. Not the middle, more like right a little after the beginning. Now, how was this? Now, I did jump online to see what match was first. It was the Michael Nakazawa versus and Kenny Omega versus Eddie Kingston and John Moxley. Smark, what did you think of this match?
The opener was all right. It was a lot of it was just sort of Moxley and Kingston beating up Nakazawa and Omega just kind of letting it happen. I believe Kingston and Moxley won the match, and then after the fact, the Young Bucks beat them down. So it was all right, but it wasn't really anything to sort of write home about. There was no real epic thriller of a match. It was just sort of filler as they continue, which is an easier word to say than farter, their feud.
Okay. All right. I get it. Now, I will say, speaking of, since we were just talking about dog shit, that's what my Wi-Fi was tonight. This was if I missed anything, I greatly apologize, but my internet, I think, was locking up every 10 seconds for 30 seconds at a time. It was very tough to watch, but I did watch. I don't know why we were having a problem. We did have some storms today, and I don't know if that did it, but awful Wi-Fi tonight. Horrible. Couldn't even watch a YouTube video on my phone. That bad. So I did see it. Now, again, I saw most of this QT Marshall versus Cody Rhodes match. What I saw, I'm going to put it at that, I wasn't really a fan, dude. I mean, Cody, to me, it looked like they've got Cody booked as this wrestling god. And QT is supposed to be this big badass guy, except for he looks like a guy you would see sitting at the end of the bar alone, any bar, alone, having a few drinks. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not. I will say this. When I knew this was coming out, I was listening to it and I was keeping an eye on it. And I was thinking to myself, hey, what could be more fun than watching this match right now? So instinctively, I started cleaning off my windowsills, which is a thing that actually happened during this match. And I had a lot more fun doing that than I did watching this. This is like, I didn't care about the feud in the first place. I don't care about the match in the first place. This is like Cody's big win, I guess. But hey, whatever. It's better than him going over somebody I actually care about. So that's good in and of itself, I guess. But they were promoting, I guess, next week that he's supposed to have some big announcement about the pay-per-view that's coming up, All In.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, QT is just, he's the guy at the end of the bar. Any guy at any bar, he's there. He just, usually in a polo shirt. Don't look at my polo shirt.
Yeah. I can, you know.
You're not even on camera. I can feel you looking at it. Like, is it you? No, I don't go to bars. I drink at home.
Like a damn professional.
I drink alone.
There you go. As do I. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with wearing a polo shirt. I own a couple myself. It's kind of how you pair it off that determines the kind of person that you are, or how tight it is, I think, is more appropriate. And you look like you can actually breathe, you're not a douchebag.
Loose with I'm a jeans guy, just jeans.
Yeah, that's all you need. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, at some point, I don't remember if it was during this match or during the opener, but at some point, Tony sort of let some information slip that I think that they hadn't openly talked about, but they were saying that when they were doing those shows at like the undisclosed location for a couple of weeks when the pandemic first started happening, that it was at the Nightmare Factory. And I think that they were like trying not to tell people that. And I think Tony just very openly said it on commentary, which is kind of interesting. They were live, so I don't know if there's going to be any ramifications or anything. I doubt it.
We knew that.
Didn't we know that?
I thought we knew all that.
I think people were I think that's what like people were deducing, but I don't think they ever really put out a statement, because for a while there they were trying their very best to keep people from not knowing where they were doing their shows for any number of reasons, safety chief amongst them.
True, but again, Florida was still a pretty, Governor Abbott down there was pretty, no, not Abbott, Governor DeSantis down there was pretty adamant about not locking down as much as everyone else. So I think we all knew that. I don't know if we all knew and it was like on the, you know, finger quote down low, you know, like Meltzer said it and no news picked up on it. But I think we might have known that. I think we might have talked about that.
Maybe I was wrong, but that was interesting, I thought. Outside of that, we got a little bit of salty Jim Ross in the tag match, too, that I forgot to mention that made me laugh because there was a big chunk of Omega and Nakazawa working on, I believe, Moxley or Kingston. That part's not really important, but there was two people in the ring for a lengthy period of time. And JR just goes, I didn't know this was a tornado tag match. Mm. Tony's like, it's not. He's like, well, then why doesn't the referee do something? This is like, I love fucking old salty Jim Ross. It's out there being a curmudgeon.
See, I love salty Jim Ross, and I love tornado tag team matches. I really do. I always have.
Yeah, I do too.
That was usually when I played the old video games. I still play games. I don't care what you think of me. But usually when I did video, I would always do the tornado tags. I love tornado tag matches. I wish we would have a lot more of them.
It's kind of easier to win that way, too. Because if you had the regular tag matches, you would have, like, the computer player would, like, always come in and break it up. And you had to hope that your computerized partner, if somebody else was playing with you, that they would be able to get there in time. And it usually made things go a lot longer than they should have.
Right. Exactly. Fun stuff, man. Fun stuff. I wish we had more of them now. Again, I might have missed a few things here. And I do have the Miro promo because I have to be honest with you. I completely missed the Miro promo. And I have it, so we'll play it. I believe it was after the Moxley promo, so we'll play it right after we talk about that. Now, we did have Scorpio and Ethan Page. They're back there cutting a promo on Darby and Sting's mark.
Mm-hmm.
Darby jumps them. Now, Scorpio had a...
Oh!
Yeah?
By the way, real quick, the Cody thing, that match... Since I was actually had to remember, so we had old what was his name, Anthony Ogogo.
Yeah. Oh yes, you're right.
Coming out, doing his best Sheamus impression. What the fuck was that? Do all European people dress that way? And I just didn't know it because he has like on the fucking derby hat and fucking suspenders. And he comes out and he puts like the Great Britain flag over.
Well, they did make sure to call him the International Star. Or something like that. The word international was in there, but yes, he did. He came down and gave a nice little gut punch to Cody. I guess that's his finisher now, the gut punch. Since he was a boxer, correct?
Yeah, he was. He was. They put over that he's like an Olympic champion boxer.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, we did see that. But, again, we got Scorpio, Ethan, Darby jumps with those two after the promo, and they threw his ass down a flight of stairs, dude. More and more, I worry about Darby Allin, man, and the length of time we're going to have him in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring up Jeff Hardy all you want. You can bring up Sabu all you want. But this dude is taking some stupid, I'm sorry, I hate to put it that way, stupid bumps.
Right. Well, they show the entire thing and they show him actually going down the stairs.
Right.
It's not like a matter of they use some clever camera tricks or whatever. They push him and they cut away and all of a sudden he's rolling down the stairs. No, it was one take, one shot. They show the entire thing.
Right.
And they push him and he goes flying on down the stairs. And like, I believe he was just selling, but he was clutching his arm the entire time. So hopefully that is just a matter of him selling and not him actually, you know, seriously going and fucking himself up. That would not be good.
Ooh, yeah, I hope so. But I mean, just I feel there's some very unnecessary bumps he takes. I mean, literally put him, I mean, dangle him over the railing and push him down or something. But I just feel he takes
I was thinking about that because they were talking about how they got the medical staff to come in like as soon as it was done. But it was like, you have people, you have your employees up like, you know, at the top of your stadium fighting and you don't send anybody to break it up. Like somebody could have fucking died, like kayfabe wise. Somebody could have fucking died. Like you got to be a little bit more active on this old TK. What are you doing?
Yeah. And like you said, it was one shot. So wasn't like they threw in a stuntman or something. And I mean, I don't know if Darby's a trained stuntman or not, but Jesus Christ, this is just unnecessary, in my opinion. I know the guy wants to, you know, go out there and put his body on the line all the time, but I'm sorry, I'd rather have Darby in the business longer.
Well, and you mentioned a Jeff Hardy comparison, so I'll give you a quick little quote here about Jim Ross talking about Darby Allin. It says from Wrestling Inc., quote, quarter hour ratings for Darby was extraordinary. He's a homegrown talent. Some people say you can't make stars in this generation. You can if you do it right. Talent creates a unique presentation, and certainly Darby Allin is unique. He reminds me a lot of Jeff Hardy.
He does, and I get it. And I know Jeff Hardy's still out there doing it, but I feel like this guy is taking bigger bumps and just, again, unnecessary bumps. I know Jeff Hardy's taking some unnecessary bumps.
Oh, sure.
We could bring up
and then that's another thing, though, is like, this is what he would do if he wasn't wrestling, though. Like, he posts all kinds of videos on his, you know, days off and free time and shit where he's doing these stunts or he's, like, falling into, you know, the fucking giant pit of styrofoam or whatever the fuck it is those people do. They jump into, like, the block pits or whatever. I'm not a cool young person, so I don't do these things.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. We should just put all of our fucked up words in the show title tonight.
The best of.
But the worst of. I would prefer to have him around longer than have him take some of the spots he does and the bumps he does. And that's just, I don't know. I just, again, unnecessary, some of the things he does. You know what? Like I said, they could have beat him down. They could have done many more things than literally just throw the guy down a flight of stairs. Hope to hell he doesn't fall wrong and literally break his neck on live television.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people have died falling downstairs, dude.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I know it's nothing to mess with, but it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, I wasn't the one that decided to take the bump. So I can't be sitting there wagging my finger at him and be like, don't do that, young man. He did it. So hopefully he's all right. And, you know.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see from there what's going on. We'll probably see some news tomorrow. Maybe get back to you guys on Friday with how old Darby's doing after that little stunt. And that's what I'm going to call it, little stunt. We had Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, with Rebel versus Julia Hart. Quick submission for the win for Britt there. Really not much to say on this. It was just kind of a, we got some time to kill. Go ahead out there and do what you got to do.
Pretty much. It was one of those things because they dedicated the large bulk of the last hour to Blood and Guts. So they were kind of just trying to figure out what to do with the hour between them.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Now, this again was another match that my internet was not cooperating. This Jurassic. I need to go back and watch AEW again. I will, actually. I need to watch this match and the main event one more time. Jurassic Express versus SCU, which was Daniels and Kazarian, versus the Varsity Blondes versus the Acclaimed. I know SCU got the win. I saw the win, but I got to tell you, I missed a very big chunk of this match, Mark. So fill me in.
I enjoyed it for the most part. I mean, it was, you had a lot of different tag teams in there. So you had sort of, you know, a lot of spots here and there in between. Got sort of not necessarily official return because I think they've been back for a little while now, but the Acclaim was back as a team. That was cool. You had one of my favorite parts was you had Max Caster doing his rap, and he said that the Varsity Blondes were going to be on fucking Dark Side of the Ring in 10 years, which I thought was a pretty good dig.
Yeah.
But just stuff like that, I thought it was cool. And like you said, it was they were building a lot on the idea that if SCU doesn't win, that they're going to have to retire. So that was a big bulk of the story that they told. And then, like you said, they ended up picking up the win. So that was cool. But all in all, I thought it was a pretty good match. It was of the matches that happened pre Blood and Guts, I think it was probably the best one. So it was the best from that hour, but obviously not the best from that show.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, again, I didn't see a lot of it, but again, I'm going to go back and watch this match and the the main event. I missed a few little chunks of it, but not a lot of the main event. I watched most of it, but...
And by the by, Brian Pillman Jr. was apparently wearing his dad's tights as a tribute.
Oh, wow. Pretty awesome right there. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Now, we had this Moxley promo. Next week, he's got that match against...
who is Eugene Nagata.
Ah, thank you, sir. They did, which
is interesting because they're about to start shutting shit down in Japan. So
that might
be a little bit of a close call for old Yuji Nagata. He might be hanging out in the States for a minute.
Yeah. If he gets over here, let's be honest, unless he's already here.
I mean, they're advertising it and it's next week. I mean, I know that doesn't mean anything necessarily, but I feel like they would have had to have had some level of confidence that it's going to happen or else they wouldn't be talking about it this week.
Let's just say fingers crossed.
That's true. That's fair.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We'll see what
happens. They had to rebook because they're doing, they did a big show the last 2 days. They're doing, the New Japan was doing their Wrestling Dontaku show, and it's one of those, like, they have every couple months, they have like an actual big show where they have a bunch of different, like, singles matches. They're doing night one and night two. Night one went off without a hitch, but apparently the second night, they had to rebook a couple of matches because there was a bit of a COVID scare. One person, I believe, tested positive, but then five others were just sort of suspected. So they had to shuffle things on the card quite a bit.
Wow, man. Amazing. Weesh. Crazy shit going on out there, man. But anyway, fingers crossed. And I think after this Moxie promo, we had Miro come out, Smart. And I, like I said, I missed the whole thing, but I got it. It's only a minute and 36. Let's do it.
The last time he was here on TNT and on Dynamite.
Yeah, that brutal assault on his former friend, Kip Sabian. Kip, who's got to go under the knife now due to the attack by Miro.
All right, Miro, you've come here saying that you want...
I told the world that nobody's going to distract my destiny. I warned the locker room, you got a title, you got a problem. Well, now the problem is here to collect. This is a signed contract that states 7 days from now, I have date with my destiny. Because next week live on AEW Dynamite, Darby Allin, I'm coming for you and the TNT title. And I don't care. You can throw yourself as many stairs as you want, but there's no avoiding this. Read what it says. Works and rights.
Right. Works and rights. It also says if he cannot be able to perform, we saw him get attacked.
No forfeit. I don't need no forfeit. I'm not a man that needs hands out. Darby Allin, I need you to show up next week. It's simple as that. Whether you're healthy or not, it won't make a difference to me because honestly, it won't make a difference to you either. And in 7 days from now, the world will find out what happens when the man who doesn't mind dying meets the man who doesn't mind killing him.
I like the end there. I like the end. The man that doesn't need his hands out, I think he meant the man that doesn't need handouts. But why
need hands? What he's saying, he could use feet to beat you.
My question is, why would you contradict Tony live on television? I don't think that's a good move. Just my little mini nitpick there.
Probably not, but he was feeling it. He had the old Holy Ghost. He was cutting a little bit of things got spirited. It was kind of funny because they were like, he's obviously the heel, but they were in front of an actual live crowd. So he was talking about how he's going to get the title match and how he's going to destroy Darby Allin, and everybody's like cheering the entire time. It's like, that probably wasn't what you had hoped would happen.
No, probably not. And speaking of live crowds, Tony Khan did announce that Double or Nothing pay-per-view there will be a full capacity crowd in the probably still going to be doing it at Daly's place over there. But it will be a full capacity crowd. Will be a full capacity crowd over there. So,
So if you didn't get COVID at WrestleMania, here's your big chance.
There you go. You got one more shot at it if you live in Florida. Now we had this little Omega. It was supposed to be some sort of announcement. Really, it was just him coming out being annoying, and really turned out to be a face to face with Kenny Omega and Orange Cassidy. Is what it really turned out to be. And that was really it. It really, man, just not even, they don't even mention, this deal with Impact, and I know Kenny's got all the fucking titles, everyone in the world, basically. And they're not even mentioning Impact. Has Impact not watched AEW and went, why are we doing this again? Anyone? Can anyone? Listen, do we have a meeting? Okay. Why are we doing this again? Can anyone give me a good reason? Anyone?
It's kind of the funny thing is, like, actually, New Japan is sending more people over there than fucking AEW is. Because they got Finjuice, their tag team. They send them over there. They're tag team champions right now. And they're sending one of the guys who was a former light heavyweight tag team champion, El Phantasmo. He's really fucking good. They're sending him over there. So they're putting more effort into like a half-hearted partnership with Impact. You know, when they New Japan still has their partnership with Ring of Honor and shit too. They're just happy to be dealing business with anybody that isn't Ring of Honor at this point. So they're just putting all their fucking, yeah, we'll send fucking Nagata to AEW. We'll send half our roster to Impact. Whatever. Just, we don't want to deal with Ring of Honor anymore. It just makes me laugh because they're putting, you know, they are being more active and they're caring more about their partnership, which really kind of doesn't mean shit, than AEW is.
Yeah. And it's just very odd how this is all working out, but I don't know. I just can't believe no one's had a quick meeting and watched AEW and said, man, we're really getting zilch, zero, nothing out of this deal. And it's really only benefiting AEW. Why? I mean, any businessman should know this, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of getting taken over the cold, but like we talked about before, even at the beginning, I was a little bit more optimistic than you were, and I must admit that I was wrong, because I was like, wait and see, we'll see where this goes. But even then, I still kind of use the analogy of they're dating out of their league, so they're putting up with more shit because they're trying to keep the quote-unquote prettier party happy.
Right.
So it's like they're basically just letting AEW walk all over them because they have a higher profile. And it's like, well, that's no way to gain respect for your company. But be that as it may, also real quick, they did announce that the whole point of the Orange Cassidy Kenny Omega face off was that they're doing they love this phrase too, a title eliminator. So it's going to be old Pac versus Orange Cassidy. And sort of Orange Cassidy took offense to the idea that Kenny Omega sort of just brushed him off and was like, all right, well, I guess I'll go train for Pac again. Because they had their feud a little bit, had a couple of matches. So he was just looking past him, saying that Pac was obviously going to win and saying that, you know, people idolize Orange Cassidy and try to emulate Orange Cassidy because they could never be what Kenny Omega is, which I thought was kind of cool. But there you go.
He stole his glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. The Ray-Bans. He made a note of saying that.
Put him on.
Gave him to old Nakazawa.
Gave him to Nakazawa. Yeah, $800 to $1,000. That's not how much those glasses are.
He said it was supposed to be special edition.
Yeah, they're not. They're not that much.
You can apparently buy them for like $20 if you know the right people on Facebook.
There you go. I'm sure that's probably where those come from. I'm sure he's getting them for about $20 a piece, or cheaper. Let's go ahead and get into this main event. Spent more time on all the shows than I really wanted to. Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle in a blood and guts match. Now, I, again, had a very hard time watching this show tonight. I came in as Jericho walked in. So I guess there was about 20 minutes left in the match from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Jericho was the last person, and you had Sammy and I believe Dex Harwood starting it off, and then people started trickling in from there. You got Sean Spears, Cash Wheeler, and then so on and so forth. Ortiz was the second person out. I could do the whole order. I actually remember, but there's really no point. You got everybody in that needed to be in, and they had themselves a match. It was kind of interesting because Jericho was talking about the NXT version of this. Because, I mean, it's War Games. You can call it whatever you wanted to call it, but it's War Games.
Right.
And he was saying that he didn't like the NXT version because he thought it was like a bastardized version because they had the open roof on the cage and they had a little platform so that people could do their spots, which is funny and ironic if you consider how this match ended and the big angle they used to, you know, end the show. It's like, it's just more of Jericho being Jericho. I think he knew what he was doing and what he was saying ahead of time. But there you go with that.
Yeah, he literally got pushed off of a platform on top of the cage.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. Now, there was some really, I mean, we had a lot going on. Again, I only got the 20 minutes, but I mean, we had the ring ripped down to the wood. We had the ropes were broke. They were using the turnbuckle as a weapon. This match was a bloody clusterfuck. But
that was a thing that was kind of a problem that I had with it. Like, I thought it was a good match, and this might just be a little bit of nitpicking, but they would go to pitcher in pitcher, or even worse, they would just like go to regular commercial break, and then they would come back, and just as they're coming back, something big is about to happen, or something big had just happened. Like in the case of, like you said, they came back from, I believe it was a pitcher in pitcher break, and the ring was completely torn up.
Right.
And it was just like, you can't rely on people to fuck. I feel like it just kind of messed with the pacing a little bit. Because you would have, like, there'd be a little bit of a cliffhanger before a commercial break. And then after commercial break, something big would happen. But then, you know, it just, like, it was kind of ups and downs, roller coaster style. And it was hard to sort of keep a level of investment into it, I thought. But that might just be...
Nah, not completely. I tend to agree with you on that. Now, I mean, Jericho was bleeding bad. MJF was bleeding bad. Pinnacle did win this match, and I think the right team won this match. I mean, Pinnacle is new. They're still trying to get, you know, push them and get them over. I think it was the right thing for them to win this match. It was good. And again, MJF did throw Jericho off the cage, off of a platform, and he went through the ramp, which looked pretty cool. You could tell those were not real, you know, diamond plates down there, but it still looked pretty cool. And I don't know. I liked the whole show. I really thought it was good. I thought they had a great show tonight. I think they're going to do very well. I think they're going to come close to the million, if not hit a million this week.
Yeah, you could see. I mean, they were at that clip for two of the last 3 weeks, I believe, because the Mike Tyson one did big numbers, and the one right after that also did a million, but then they dropped off last week.
Right.
So it'll probably get them back to that million viewer mark.
I guess we'll find out. And again, you can't keep up this pace, but I guess we'll have to see what happens on this front, if you know what I mean. So we'll go from there, man. But all right, man.
I thought you would get a kick out of they had the Inner Circle all had prison jumpsuits.
Yes, they
had
did. Different
counties, but they had all prison jumpsuits. And then as Christopher Kane and chat's bringing up, MJF Dunn went and bled his ass off too. So there was that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he really did, man. He bled. He was bleeding pretty bad there. I mean, his hair was fucking soaked in blood, a lot of it. It was like I said, pretty good match, great show, and I think that's gonna bring them back up to that million, maybe or at least very close to it. Now, you got any more on AEW?
Not really. You did mention that they're doing the full capacity crowd, and they plugged the Yuji Nagata John Moxley match. I think that was pretty much about it.
Okay, all right. Now, there's a question going around, Smark. People keep asking, and you know, with again, we said if NXT does have to move to a different night. People are going to go, oh, you know, AEW crushed them. They had a move. Look what happened. Now people are asking a question. Should AEW try to start the Monday Night Wars again? I'm not going to read the article. The headlines, you know, basically is it's an opinion article, so there's no reason to read it. But the question stands. Should AEW try to do what TNA did, which I know it was TNA, but still, and go against Raw? I know they beat NXT, but should they go against Raw? What do you think?
No. I mean, it doesn't really even have a matter of, like, it just works better for everybody, as evidenced by the NXT AEW thing, where they both were doing better numbers, you know, separately. There's a little bit of a, you know, the difference in consistency the last couple of weeks. You had, you know, AEW drop out of that million mark, and you had NXT's numbers go down a little bit. But for the most part, it seems like it's better for everybody if you just have one show per day. You know, it doesn't really have anything to do with the quality of Raw or the quality of AEW. It's just, you don't want to tear people's attention too much.
No, and I agree with you. The answer definitely is no. Raw has been on Mondays for, I mean, seasons. What is this, 29th year? Almost 30 years Raw's been on?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Almost 30 years. So, why? No. Keep your niche. You started on Wednesdays. I know you didn't make NXT run. It was a company decision. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I don't give a fuck, to be honest with you. You're unopposed now. You're on Wednesdays. There is zero reason for them to try to start the Monday Night Wars again and go against an incredibly established show. I don't see the reason for it. I hope they don't fucking do it. No, no, no. And I got to tell you, I don't think people want it. I think Raw has its fans. It has its fan base. It has basically the hardcores that are going to watch it. And your show has your hardcore fan base on the night that you've gotten them used to. And I think if they move to Mondays, they would literally just, I mean, you might as well fucking shoot yourself in the foot at that point.
Right. By the by, as you mentioned, January 11th, 1993 was the first episode. Mm-hmm. They're on season 28.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, close. Close to 30 years, we said. We said almost 30 years.
Yeah, you didn't give a really definitive, but I just for the sake of statistical purposes.
There you go. So, all right, we agree on that. It looks like I would guess most people would agree on that. I just don't know where the thought that would be a good idea for this company would even be. So, people that are even saying yes, think about it. Really think about it. Because, no, not going to work. I mean, Raw is usually in, like, that 1.5 to 1.8 million.
Right.
And AEW's barely breaking that. So why would you go against a show that already has that set amount of viewers? Some of those viewers are used to watching your show on Wednesday nights and are happy it's on Wednesdays because they get to watch Raw without being interrupted by the other show and have to flip back and fucking forth.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know. It seems it's different. I feel like it's different now that it is better than it was back then, because you're not going to, at the very least for now, you're not going to topple WWE. Hmm. They have their fucking billion-dollar TV deals. They have the Peacock deal. They have all this money they're getting from Saudi Arabia. Like, even, you know, even if you want to just go for quality versus quality, you know, there's a lot of people who think Dynamite's better on a week-in, week-out basis than Raw. I'm one of those people. But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean too much of anything. You know, they're going to be around for a while. I think both companies are going to be around for a while. That's, I think, something you should be rooting for more so than one company prevailing over the other. It's just the idea, even if WWE doesn't always live up to that, the idea that there's diversity and that there's different stuff going on in different companies.
Yeah. Yeah, not everything has to be a fucking, let's go to war. Not. How about we just all enjoy fucking wrestling and not have to have a war about which show to watch? And you know what? I got to tell you, with all the streaming services now and people cutting the cord, cutting the cord and getting away from cable, it's not as easy to flip back and forth with that button anymore. It's not as easy to just hit that little, you know, last channel button. So
sure,
yeah, I just no. And you know, it's funny, we're sitting here talking about the war, you know, and Chris Jericho said something because Triple H was on an interview and said that the NXT AEW ratings war was imaginary, was what he said. He was on the Cheap Heat podcast with Peter Rosenberg, Triple H was, and this is what he said. The promotional opportunity for us is much better on a Tuesday, and also then not having to have a narrative where it's just constantly about an imaginary war, this imaginary battle. And you know, people can say what they want, but the truth of the matter is, if you compete against everything, if you are creating a television product or content that is the world we live in is content, not television, not internet, it's everything. So you're constantly competing for eyeballs and time against everything under the sun, including sleep and time to do other things and video games and TikTok and everything else that's out there. Really rambled this answer, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I just realized a lot of what he said did not really compute. Wow, that was weird. But so again, he called it imaginary. And Chris Jericho, I guess, was contacted somehow by the New York Post and basically said that, said this, not basically, he said this. It will be there for the rest of time. It was an imaginary war. And if it wasn't a war, why did they take Wednesday night and the exact same time that we had? It was there to take away our ratings and for us to not get re-signed, obviously for a TV deal, he means. 3 months after that, that started, we were re-signed to a hundreds of millions of dollars extension. They failed. I mean, I guess they did move nights. You can't refute what he's saying. I know Chris Jericho is always sort of in character, but you can't really say anything about what he's saying. He did continue, Smark, real quick, and then I'll run it over to you. He said, that's typical WWE. It's typical rhetoric, because I believe that they congratulated us the first week and said, if you remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We won the marathon, right? So now it's an imaginary war. Well, then why were they saying it's a marathon, not a sprint, a year and a half ago when our first rating came out? He's kind of right. Why would they say that? Why would they be like, oh, it's a marathon, not a sprint? And then, yeah, so good.
I agree. And like, obviously we talked about it. They decided to move to Tuesdays because of the whole NHL deal. But that being said, if they were doing better ratings than the NHL, they probably wouldn't have moved them. So, I mean, you can kind of semantics, but it all goes back to ratings anyway. If they were doing these fucking big numbers, they wouldn't have moved. And like, that's the thing. That's actually a very important thing that's mentioned too, is if the roles were reversed and NXT was doing the numbers that AEW was doing, there would have already been a fucking documentary about it as soon as AEW announced that they were going to Tuesdays. you know, it would have been like, oh, yeah. we triumphed again. This small little family company has beaten this evil billionaire Tony Khan at his own game, you know, this kind of shit. So it's more of a matter of they're just pretending it wasn't a thing because they weren't on the winning end of it.
Yeah.
But
the rise and fall of AEW.
And there was a lot of times where it was very blatant. That's true, yes, the rise and fall of AEW. There's a lot of times where it was very blatant that they were counter-programmed, where they would pull out big matches just seemingly out of nowhere that had no build prior other than the fact that, you know, AEW was doing this big event show or they were doing that big event show, whatever. And it seems like that's kind of, they could still easily do this, but it seems like that's sort of been the blessing of them moving to Tuesdays is that there's been way less attempts to counter program.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I hate to say, but for WWE, it's not good that they don't have any competition because they're going to get complacent very quick. And NXT is already seeming that way. So I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they love doing that show where it's like, well, we're competing against all other TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, have you watched any other TV shows? Like, there's continuity and storytelling and actual plan and forethought put out to character development and storyline, story arcs and angles. Like, you're not competing with these shows. Get the fuck out.
No, not at all. But, all right, let's go ahead. We only got a few few more little things to get into. On the heels of Trashgate or Garbage Bag Gate or Glad Bag Gate, whatever you want to fucking call it, Chelsea Green, another one who was recently released by WWE, on her podcast, 50 Shades of Green, she said she also got a trash bag, but it was Natalia's stuff.
That's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah, I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but she said she definitely got a bag and it wasn't even her stuff. So WWE,
somebody sent me a shitload of cat toys and a bunch of pictures of Nikki half naked addressed to my mom. Oh wait, no, that's Italian stuff. I don't know what's going on here.
Why do I have a picture of Cesaro in here? Oh, it's got Love TJ on the back. But man, they just have a nightmare going on there at WWE. This was, again, one of the reasons Mark Carano lost his job, which I really feel, I think I said this that same night we talked about this, that I feel that they were looking for a reason to get rid of him, and this just kind of gave him that green light to go ahead and do it without any backlash during the pandemic. So, wow. WWE is, they're batting 1,000 on this, getting stuff back to people, aren't they?
Well, that's sort of the amazing part is like, okay, not only did they do you dirty, but then also like, if you're Natalia, do you read into that? Where it's like, should I have anything to be worried about? And also, how little do you think of us when you're sending her my shit?
Yeah, there's a lot to dig into there. Is there some hidden meaning, like you said, behind all this stuff? Do you want me gone? Am I gone? What's going on? But I don't know. I think Natty would be fine if she wasn't there anymore. I think she might.
That's kind of sort of thing is that incest pornography tends to be very popular these days. So I feel like she might have an avenue that's she'd be perfect for based on some of her videos and posts on the old social media machine.
Her and her sister could make a lot of money, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Very much so.
I agree. But speaking of a lot of money, Fred Rosser III, or as we know him, Darren Young, revealed that WWE is filming a Nexus documentary for the network, which will obviously be on Peacock soon on one of the WWE Untold episodes. This should be a very quick one. We were doing great. We came out, we kicked ass, and then John Cena picked us off one by one. That's it. What is this going to be, like a 20-minute fucking episode?
Well, I mean, literally could be about a half hour.
Oh, okay. You can, okay. I guess you could drag 30 minutes out of it when you, you know, take the fact that you have to give at least a minute for the chairs to fall on Wade Barrett.
They just kept falling and falling and falling.
So, yeah, but listen, I'm fine with them doing some sort of documentary on them, but it's what? No, that's not where I was going to go. You know what, Smark? What do you think? I'm baffled by this because there's not a lot of meat to this. It didn't last that fucking long. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, they need content. I mean, they're doing a series of shows based on, like, old equipment that they used to have. The fucking buried treasures thing, which I know is on A&E, but still, it's like, all right, I mean, is watching a half-hour Nexus documentary really all that much better or worse than watching a half-hour dedicated to the Undertaker's face mask that he wore when fucking Mabel broke his face?
Okay, you got a point. And I guess there is a lot of things you can get into the fact that Daniel Bryan was fired that first night that they came out because of what he did to Justin Roberts, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, with the tie.
You can get into that. You can get into the, you know, the whole, what was his name? Michael Tarver.
Mm-hmm.
I like that guy, actually. Yeah, I guess there's a few things you can dig into there, but still, I can't wait to see how they spin the fact that one man took out the whole faction. I can't wait to see that. I really want to see how they decide to wrap this thing up. That's what I want to see.
Although I'm sure there'll be some sort of a spin to it. There always is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that spin will be, but it'll be more of like, well, people like them, so they weren't doing their job as heels, so we, of course we had to split them up.
Oh, it'll be a nice happy ending. Don't worry about it. But yeah, I guess we'll see what happens when that comes out. Again, I'm very curious to see how they decide to wrap that one up, and we'll go from there. But Smark, you've got a little something you sent over to me on a little something we've been talking about the last few weeks. This old Triller, which is kind of the competition for TikTok. But they're also going into a lot of other avenues, like actual television shows. Smart, go ahead. I was wasn't sure if you had it pulled up, so I was giving you a little time there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, just give me another second or two. No, I'm kidding. MMAfighting.com is where this comes from, but it's been all over. They've talked about it on The Observer and on all kinds of other shit, so it doesn't really matter. But anyways, if you are one of these people, one of these pirates, these nefarious no-gooders that are out here illegally streaming content, yes, shame on you, Tisk, stop pointing at me specifically. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, if you're one of these ne'er-do-wells, these pirates, as they were, you better watch out, because Triller is coming for you. This says Triller is going after illegal streamers with a massive lawsuit filed in California. On Monday, Triller confirmed the news in an email to MMA Fighting that the social media company has filed a lawsuit that alleges 11 illegal streamers broadcasted the recent card featuring Jake Paul against Ben Askren in the main event with losses totaling $100 million. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court in Central California. News of the lawsuit was first reported by Yahoo Sports. In total, the lawsuit takes aim at 11 sites and 100 unnamed people, 2 million illegal streams, which Triller claims cost them more than $100 or cost them $100 million in revenue. quote, it's shocking to think a theft so grand can be done so blatantly and so brazenly and steal with no remorse. All right, calm down, guys. A Triller spokesman said in a statement sent to MMA Fighting, there is zero difference between what they did and walking into a market, stealing tons of a product and selling it at a discount in the parking lot. Well, sort of, because they were giving it away for free. They weren't reselling it. That's the first thing. Anyways, it's neither civilly nor criminally any different, and we are prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law. There were far over 2 million illegal streams, akin to hundreds of millions of dollars. Sites mostly using Google's YouTube, such as, okay, now naming them just seems like it's poor form. You're telling people where to get your shit. So they go on and they name all these different places. But the good news, and this goes on for a while, so I'll just cut to the chase. They're offering, if you go ahead and snitch on yourself and pay them the $50 that you have stolen mm-hmm. from their supermarket of streaming services, they will grant you amnesty. All you have to do is snitch on yourself and probably get yourself in a lot of future trouble by doing so.
Yeah, I'm going to guess the best thing to do is get yourself a VPN, first of all.
Well, that's the thing, is they claim that they could still track people via VPN, which a bunch of people that like do tech support and other kinds of, you know, IT related stuff have basically said that that's a bunch of bullshit. Like the best you could do is get the handle of the VPN, but you can't really trace it as to who used it.
Because I mean, you get you basically get a spoofed IP on those VPNs. So, and every time you log on, it's a different you get a spoofed IP address. Is that what I said, or did I repeat
myself? Yeah, you said spoofed IP address, kind of like back in the day,
right?
From how I understand it, like how people used to use proxies.
Exactly. That's kind of what this is. And every time you log on, it's a different IP address. So that's how they work. Did half of that is bullshit, but. Now looks like they're going after the guys that were mainly going after the guys that were doing the streaming, not the people watching the streaming. But eventually that could, if this is anything you have to, if you have to register for any of these sites, I'd be shaking a little bit. If you registered for any of these, then I would be a little nervous because they've got your info. And if you think this guy is going to sit there tough and be like, fuck you, call my ISP and get a warrant, blah, blah, blah. One of these motherfuckers is going to give it up.
I mean, I would love to see, and I'm not talking about the stream providers, like the guys that are on these websites that are hosting the websites or whatever and hosting the streams. I'm talking about, like, there's got to be a couple. I would love to see the people who freak out that were on, like, Buff Streams or First Row or whatever the fuck. These are all sites that were listed. I wouldn't know any of these offhand. But if they were on some of these nefarious sites and they were like, oh my God, it was me and I'm so sorry, please don't be upset. Like, I got to see what these people look like. I've got to know more about these people because, like, it's one thing if you're hosting a website, like I said, or hosting a stream, but if you just access the stream, it is highly unlikely that they're going to find you specifically.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But I mean, it could happen. Usually your internet service provider will be like, hey, you did something wrong and don't do it again. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a few of those for obtaining movies.
I can see how they can happen to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten a few of those, but, I don't know. I don't find this petty. If you really feel you're out about $100 million, that's a lot of fucking revenue right there especially for a startup, which I know they're a little more than a startup, but
I don't find it petty. I just find it laughable that they think that they could actually do this, and I don't mean like and get away with it. I mean like literally, if they think that they could execute this, it's not going to happen. It just doesn't seem likely. Like a bunch of people were saying, if this technology was available, where you could trace all of these, you know, each stream and each viewer has their unique IP, and you can go through that and you can find all these people and you can make them stop, you know, illegally downloading, illegally streaming your shit. There's been WWE pay-per-views forever, for forever. There's been UFC pay-per-views for forever. Mm-hmm. You would think that somebody would fucking, you know, you can get illegal NFL streams. You would think that somebody by now would have developed the technology and this would have already been a thing. I don't think that they're going to be the front runners to this newfangled technology where they put these cyber bad guys in the pookie.
No. I don't think so either. But, yeah, I guess we'll see how many. Again, it's like, hey, why don't you, you know, hey, listen, if you want to snitch on yourself and call the FBI and let us know you were the one that did it, that's, you know, we'll just give us $50. And oh, by the way, we meant $50 for everyone that joined your stream.
Brian.
See, that's probably what they're meaning. And yeah, this is going to turn out to be a fun one. I can't wait to follow this one, to be honest with you. So hopefully we'll hear more about this in the future and get back to you when we do.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, Smart, we got one more little thing to get into here. As mm-hmm. far as I know, that's all we got.
Yeah, real quick, I want to add a couple of little things here.
Yeah.
That they're not really super worth talking to. Or it's not a lot to talk about. But as we were getting on the air and we were doing the theme song, I had noticed we were talking about Azteca Underground on MLW.
Uh-huh.
The most recent episode, I guess, came out maybe today or maybe yesterday, but probably today. I don't know when their release schedule is. He's back. I have waited. I have sat at the door like a desperate, needy dog, and he has returned. El Jefe, or Dario Cueto himself, is back, and he is the leader of Azteca Underground. He's building a new temple, he claims. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means about the potential reboot of Lucha Underground, but I do know that Dario Cueto is back, and by proxy, I now have to watch MLW, which I didn't ever intend on doing, but here we are.
Well, we did say their only chance to even make it like it was, what did you was to get Dario back, and they did it. They did mm-hmm. it. So pretty awesome right there, and definitely want to see where that's going to go and where they take that one.
Mm-hmm. And then so one more thing before we get to the other thing that I'd sent you. I wish I would remember this to send it to you earlier, but this happened Monday. And it's a series of treats. It's a twilogy of tweets. I'm going to pretend that I meant to do that because that actually flows well. Anyways, Nick Gage got an interesting challenge, and he went on a real discovery to try to figure out who he is and what he's about. Yeah. So the first tweet starts off with, quote, "Who is Matt Cardona and why is he saying he wants to fight me? Mad people hitting me up about it." Follow-up tweet, "Oh shit, Matt Cardona is the Zack Ryder dude. LOL, my bad, never mind." And the best tweet is the third one and the final one.
Mm.
Quote, Someone told me that dude collects dolls for a living? Now, is that true? I feel bad. Keep your head up, Matt. Keep working hard. You can get back to WWF if you believe in yourself.
WWF.
You believe in yourself. It is the most, like, low-key, passive-aggressively dismissive thing. Like, I heard you're playing with dolls now? Well, if you just keep believing in yourself, buddy, you're going to make it back.
Oh, Nick Gage. What a great guy. What a great guy.
Wonderful.
He actually,
because he just blatantly goes, "Who the fuck is this guy?" Which means at some point Zack Ryder had to have been putting him over on Twitter, being like, "I'd love to have a match with Nick Gage." And then Nick Gage is like, "Who the fuck are you?" Which is wonderful.
Wow, he must feel great. Must feel just absolutely great. But God, love me some Nick Gage. So, Smart, last little mm-hmm. thing we'll get into here, then we'll wrap this bad boy up. The buzz since the weekend has been that Daniel Bryan is, according to Fightful and a few other websites, no longer under contract. It looks like Daniel Bryan was actually, his contract expired at midnight following last week's SmackDown. And he has already been moved to the alumni section of the WWE website, which means, I'm not sure what that means, to be honest with you.
It could be any number of things. They could just be keeping kayfabe that he's no longer there.
Right. It could be, it like you said, it could be a lot of things right there. But he has been saying he does want to go wrestle other places. So maybe we see him doing the journeyman thing. Again, I would really rather see him go over to, I think he would be amazing over in NXT. We'll see what happens with that. But I think that would be a great spot for him right there in NXT. Just, he would have so many good matches with so many of those guys over there. But we talked about that last week. But go ahead.
No, I mean, and that was your idea, and I agreed with it at the time, but even more so to sort of flesh that out, it kind of gives him the best opportunity to do what he wants to do, because he basically said that he wants to wrestle for WWE and other promotions, like just kind of straight up out there. And we know that that's not going to happen. They're not going to allow that.
Right.
So with the NXT thing, like you suggested, it gives him an opportunity to work with a full slate of new opponents or people that he hasn't worked with for a very long time, at the very least, while still being able to, you know, if he so chooses, do the whole creative thing on SmackDown or maybe even on NXT, who knows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I'm not sure where he's going to end up. Who knows? They could get him back. Rumors today were, oh, they are desperately trying to re-sign Daniel Bryan. I don't know. I don't know if that was a Meltzer rumor or what. I just saw it floating around a little bit, so I thought I'd mention it.
According to The Observer, I was watching it earlier today, they were saying that two different sources, and of course they're the, you know, anonymous sources, are saying that they believe that he is going to stay. One of them was saying it was kind of a foregone conclusion. The other one wasn't quite as concrete, but the sort of general consensus is it seems like he's going to. At the same time, I mean, it does sound interesting because we've been talking about this, where he was putting over other companies and other wrestlers and saying that he wanted to work for different promotions, work different arenas, different venues. He wants to wrestle in the Arena Mexico for CMLL. He wants to work in New Japan. He wants to do all these different things. It lines up with the idea that his contract's expiring. It's sort of very coincidental, very interesting that it's all, you know, it's all a part of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But again, he's got us wondering, which is a good thing. But I could see Meltzer and his sauces being correct. I mean, you know, him leaving would put Brie in a weird spot with her little show, and how are they going to have him on the show still if, you know, that little, what is it, a Total Bellas show, if, how are they going to have him on there if he's not with, it's just, I could see him still just jumping on in and staying where he's at, but I would like to see him jump over to an NXT. I think that would be an amazing place for him to be.
They just fucking recast him in Total Bellas, like he's Aunt Viv from The Fresh Prince. There's just a new Daniel Bryan walking around. Fucking Cameron Grimes is out here dressing like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, bring in Roderick Strong. No one will know the difference.
God, there you go. You give him a beard. He's about the same height. It all works.
And Brie just doesn't even bat an eye. Just is like, stop it, Bryan.
He's all sad. Can I go back home to my real wife? No, we're filming. Get the fuck out of here.
Come on, you've got a Bella here you can fuck. Anyway.
Everyone else has. Why won't you?
Call Seamus. He'll tell you what she likes. Anywho, I think that's probably a good place to end this show right there, Smark.
But of course.
Of course, I think that's a great place to end this show right here. And of course, by ending this show, I mean we play the final theme, take y'all drunken ass home. And of course, we talk about the High Marks. That's Cheese Man. That's Mojo. That's G-Wiz. Those are some great guys. Where are you going to find them? You're going to go to Mixer.com/Metal Mitt Network. That's right. No stutter there. Mitt has two T's in it. Metal Mitt Network right here on Mixer. Check those guys out. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sundays, Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blades on the Inhuman Experience. Check out the Inhumans over there. Apple, Google, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts, you will find them. Subscribe. You will not be disappointed. And, of course, the Everything Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Check out those guys, all the usual podcast platforms, and Blog Talk Radio. Once again, thank you very much to those guys over there. I really appreciate you guys letting me actually host your little settle it in the ring there. It was a lot of fun, and Eric actually ended up winning that, so I'll spoil that for you. But go ahead and listen anyway. It was a very, very, very good time. Once again, Blog Talk Radio, all the usual podcast platforms, Everything Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Stephen Milan, appreciate you sharing the show. Get him over there reviewing films. He's on Letterboxd, BOXD.com/Stephen Milan, double the L's in Milan. And, of course, we are on Stitcher, iHeart, Anchor, YouTube, Spotify, Google, TuneIn, anywhere you get podcasts. Find us. And there you go, Smart.
Yes, sir. Mondays, 8:30 on the Metal Mitt Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to Cheese on Sports with the Cheese Man. If you love sports, they love balls, and we love them, so give them a listen. Yeah, it might have to be workshopped a bit, but Sundays, 10:30 a.m. on the Metal Mid Podcast Network, also on the Mixler Machine. Be sure to listen to the Mo Dirk City Machine Guns with Mojo, with Dirk. And last but never least, be sure to check out our friends at Planet Ragontour. So Planet Ragontour Podcast with Bobby Anthem, Papa Dave Sincere, Yuck Nasty. All 16 episodes are available for your listening pleasure, and be sure to be subscribed for season 2, Planet Ragontour. That's not to be confused with Planet Stasiak, as Sasha Baron Corbin brings up in our chat room here.
Yes, not to be confused. Not to be confused at all. Did you say if you love balls?
Well, you know, they love sports. They love balls. We love them. So be sure to listen.
Okay, so there you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you love balls, listen to Cheese on Sports. Not sure what's going on here, but yeah, there you go, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Chat room, appreciate you. Sasha Baron Corbin, fucking ride or die, dude. Awesome shit, man. Fucking ride.
Get you something to eat.
Huh?
I said, get you something to eat. He said that he's been working hard all day and had a chance to eat. He had a plum, but come on, he's a growing boy. He needs more than a plum. He needs to get himself a ham sandwich.
Fucking plum. Go get yourself something to eat. I'm actually going to do the same damn thing and then take my my ass to bed. I'll probably do a shot, maybe even two. I'm going to go see if the wife's awake. But there you go, everybody. Thank you. Friday night, right back here. Mixer.com/DirtCheatDudes. Come on and join us. See ya!
Yes.
Time to take your drunken ass home. Oh, it's all right.
It's all right.
If you don't know what to do with yourself, take your drunken ass home.